Welcome back, everyone, to WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Alette Green, in for Harold Fisher this evening. Okay, so our FICO score determines a lot about our financial future, and new changes are coming. So what will be the impact, both good and bad? We want to get your questions answered about all of this tonight with our experts. So don't wait to call. This is free expert advice, so you need to call right now at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. We've got Perry Fleming, Director of Consulting with Experian, which is a major credit bureau, on the phone with us tonight. Also with us in the studio, we've got financial expert and consumer advocate Shahida Williams. So again, this conversation is including all of you out there, the listeners who have questions and you want to get them answered for free. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Perry, Shahida, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to join you.
Okay, so Perry, let me start with you to just basically set the situation for us with this new FICO formula. What we're hearing is about 80 million people will see a shift of 20 points or more, and about half will see scores go up, while the other half will see their scores drop. Just basically explain what's going to happen, what's happening soon in the summer.
Absolutely. So Perry Fleming, I work in financial services industry, work for Experian for the last 2 years.
Uh-huh.
The opinions expressed here is of myself and not my employer.
Okay.
Just get that out the way. But what's happening is every so years or so, FICO comes out with a new version of their scoring model. And the new FICO score 10 will come out in the summer. There's two versions of it, one that will involve trended data, and we'll talk about what that is a little bit more, then that one that does not. The overall impact to scores, what they're saying is it'll go up or down by 20 points,
right,
depending on your individual status. They're treating revolving credit debt a little bit different in the model. Compared to, let's say, installment debt. So those that carry a higher percentage of credit card debt will be those that will be likely impacted negatively based upon what we're seeing being reported thus far. Again, it's all speculation because the actual report and score won't be released until summer, but it's just a lot of chatter in the marketplace about it right now.
Shahida, what do you think about what we are expecting? What are you hearing from people? What are the concerns?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
And also, the opinions I'm expressing today are mine.
Gotcha.
But there's a lot of hysteria about this and about the credit score in general. And, you know, as a consumer advocate, I'm here to say, so what? You know, the credit scoring system might change a little bit, but the rules of personal finance are still the same.
Okay.
Right? Keep your debt low, borrow sparingly, and live within your means. And people who tend to live like that and follow those basic steps tend to be the people with the better scores in the first place. And so I'm just here to say and to promote the idea that personal finance is not shifting, even though there's a new financial model out there that may be more conservative than we've seen in the past.
Okay. I want our listeners to join in this conversation. I want to get as many of your calls, your questions to these experts at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. I want to go to Arnita. Arnita is up first. Actually, we're going to take Anna. Anna calling in from Virginia. What do you want to say, Anna? What's your question or comment about bankruptcy?
Sam.
Anna, are you there?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to file bankruptcy, but a lot of lawyers that do bankruptcy have kind of warned me that when they do bankruptcy, they will wipe out certain things on your credit score. So in my case, I have one eviction that's from 2015. He says that he wouldn't know if that will be wiped out.
Okay, let me have Perry kind of give you a little bit of advice first, and then Shahida can chime in. Perry?
Again, don't want to give any personal advice as far as that, but what I can say, it will still be on your credit report. The way that bankruptcy in general is treated on the credit report, it stays on there, and it will prevent you from being able to get certain type of loans. So, for example, in the mortgage industry, you have to wait 7 years before you can get a traditional mortgage after a bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. If you go and get it a FHA loan, I believe it's at 3 years now. So there's consequences associated with getting the bankruptcy, and it depends what version of bankruptcy you actually file, that how it will be treated as far as the underwriting or impacting your ability to get loans in the future.
Thank you so much, Anna, for calling in with your question. Again, we are taking your phone calls tonight at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. These FICO scoring formula changes happen every 3 years, every 5 years. How does it work? This is something that happens regularly. And why is that so?
Yeah, so I'll take a stab at it. Like, the general rule of thumb for how credit is managed, you know, it still makes up the same percentage. How much you owe on your credit report, how frequently you use your credit, the length of your credit history, and the credit mix and overall payment history. The percentage and how it's scored will generally remain the same. But what's happening is, just like if you think about shoes that come out, Jordan puts out a new release of shoes that comes out in the marketplace every year, and it's just taking advantage of the latest and greatest technology that can be put into those shoes. It's the same thing for a FICO model. It's allowing new technology and new data and analytics to be provided within the new FICO score model.
And I asked that question, Shahida, because out of the gate, you said there is some hysteria among folks that you're hearing. And I wanted to just kind of make sure people understood that these formulas are something that these formula changes or tweaks or whatever you want to call it, that's something that we should expect.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you know, the FICO score is what lenders use to help determine your eligibility for a loan, mm-hmm. right? And it used to be a handshake or where your father did business, and we all know the problems with that, the historical problems with that. But this is supposed to be an objective and quantitative measure to help facilitate an understanding on who is a good credit risk and who's not, who's likely to pay the loan back, frankly, right? And so when credit scores go up, right, or when the models are more loose and liberal, then more people can borrow money. When those models that lenders use become more restrictive, then the opposite result is what we're likely to see.
But the immediate question to me is, how are Black and brown people going to be impacted by this? Because we're usually in a certain predicament or situation, having difficulty getting the loans that, you know, we want. We want to buy cars. We want to buy a house. We want to have things, too. So that's an alarm factor. We're going to get into that a little bit deeper as we continue the conversation. I want to go back to our phone lines and bring on. Is this Maureen?
Yeah.
Maureen calling in from Virginia. What's your question? You have some question about credit cards.
Yes. Now, I have excellent credit, and I preach it to everyone, and I like the lady's comment. But I also have cards that I have a lot of, I guess, the credit line, but I don't use them. So would I be impacted, or, as you said, as long as my cards are within the limits and I don't go over and I have my excellent rating, I should not be impacted?
That's a good question.
Well, I'll take a stab at this one. So this is a very common question that consumers want to know. And what I would say is, yes, there is going to be an impact if you decide not to use those cards, close those cards out. If you keep them open and then you also pay off the other lines of credit, then what's going to happen is your credit rating is going to rise. Now, why is that? Because FICO tells us that 30% of your score is how much debt you have outstanding in comparison to how much debt you could take on. on if you were to max out all those cards. And so also understand that maxing out the cards usually is a signal that you're you don't have any cash, right? Because you're using your credit cards. That's right. Cheaper and better, right? So it's important to keep those utilization lines low, but keep those cards open while you're paying them off so that your score won't be impacted as heavily or it'll go up.
Thank you very much for that question. 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. We're talking about the changes that are coming to your credit score with our financial experts. These folks have great backgrounds in this, so they can give us a little bit of advice this evening to get us prepared for what is to come. Perry Fleming, Shahida Williams here with us this evening. I want to go to Reggie. Reggie, hi, calling in from Atlanta. Do I have you on the phone, Reggie?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Good evening. How you doing?
Well, thank you for calling in from Atlanta. What do you want to ask? What's your question?
My question to the young man who works for the credit bureau is, tell me how demographics in terms of where you live affect credit reports. For many years, I've understood that they the credit reporting agencies, look at your zip code, and they assign a certain score to where you live based on your zip code, based on charge-offs, based on credit history. And I'm finding that that's really the old-school redlining and how – and they bury it in the analytics.
So okay, so let me have Perry address your question. I think it's a good one for us to address. Perry?
I'm 2 years. Your city of where our zip code
to
where
you
live at. Can't speak historically about what it in at one point in time, you know, years ago when redlining was legal, but the FICO score today is zip code or where you live address wise is not a factor.
Thank you for clearing that up. All right. Thank you so much for calling in from Atlanta, Reggie. We really appreciate you. I just wanted to, I'm glad he asked that question because I want to clear up things that are just not part of what we are talking about or don't factor into this because there are some misconceptions about some things. Let's get back to what we're looking at in terms of these changes that are coming. So the previous scoring models took snapshots of a person's payment history. With this new model, they're going to take more of a historical view or a long view of payments over time, and they can process much more information. Good or bad for folks who are struggling or who are in a predicament? What do you say, Shahida?
Well,
if they're taking a longer look and you're missing some payments, I would think that's not going to be good for you.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, I guess the immediate answer would probably be that vulnerable people will continue to be vulnerable because this is a more conservative look back, right? It's easier, in theory, to make payments over 3 months or 6 months, right? But the last 24 months, that's, you know, that's a little bit more challenging. And that relates to the conservative nature of the model. But I want to make sure one thing is clear, if I can, is that whatever model that the is in play, FICO 10 or something else, it is going to be the lender's choice which credit scoring model that they subscribe to. FICO 10 is just one option. Mm-hmm. So FICO 10 is going to be the new conservative model, but most lenders subscribe to what's called FICO 8. And FICO 8 is you know, 80 or 90% of lenders use that one, and that one still has the 12-month look back. So I think that unless there's a mass movement towards FICO 10 because they're trying to be more conservative with their lending policies, we're not going to see a lot of adoption. That's my thought.
202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. I want to bring LaShawn into the conversation, calling from Maryland. What's your question or comment?
I don't have a question. I have a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
My comment is I wouldn't tell anyone to close account as a mortgage underwriter because you have programs out there that depend on your credit in reference to how long you've had it when you open them. And closing an account can affect that score.
Thank you very much, LaShawn, for that. Perry?
Let me throw one thing out there to clarify and to add on what was said earlier. There's multiple versions of FICO. The version that's mainly used for credit card, personal loans, cars is version 8. In the mortgage space, you're actually using an even older version of FICO. It's typically version 4 or 5. And another misconception is the credit bureaus. The way I think about it, the analogy I like to use is the credit bureaus provide the ingredients into the FICO score. The FICO, Fair Isaac, is the owner of the actual score, and mm-hmm. they own the intellectual property associated with it. So I think about it like a crock pot. So we're putting all the ingredients in the crock pot. The crock pot actually cooks it, and that is what the FICO model or the FICO score is, and the output of that comes out in FICO's name. And then what is happening with all the ingredients that's going in the crock pot is the data and the payment history, all of that stuff is the information that's provided by the three credit bureaus.
Shahida, we're going to take a quick break in just a minute. And when we come back, I want to have you and Perry kind of break down more of the specifics. But for now, how can people reach out to you since you are a consumer advocate? What's the best way for folks to reach you quickly?
Well, they can reach me on Twitter and follow me at Shahida Speaks. That's S-H-A-H-I-D-A-H Speaks, S-P-E-A-K-S. That's my Twitter handle. They can also reach out to me at ShahidaSpeaks@gmail.com.
And Perry, if folks want to reach out to you and get some information, how do they reach you?
I am on LinkedIn. They can look at my name, Perry Fleming, PerryFlemming. And
all
I'm
right.
also a chair of a nonprofit board in the Washington, D.C. area called LightPoint. And you can find all of our information as Friends of LightPoint, D.C.
I love it. Okay, so we need to take a break. We're continuing with this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141. So we've got several people holding on the line. You will be able to hear the conversation. We want you to join the conversation at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're listening on WHUR, switch over right now to Sirius XM Channel 141. Up next on WHUR, The Original Quiet Storm. All right, welcome back. Thanks for staying with us. Thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us, we have Perry Fleming and Shahida Williams. Did I say that right, Shahida?
Shahida
Williams. Okay. Financial experts, and we're talking about the new FICO scoring that's going to kick in the summer and what we need to expect, how we might even prepare for the changes that are coming and how we can improve that credit score and do better and have that borrowing power just increase. The number to call to join the conversation is 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. We've got Dee on the line calling in from the district, and you want to say something about your relationship with credit or something like that? What is
yes.
it, Dee?
Good evening. How you doing?
Great.
Good. I want to ask about, so I have an associate's degree in business management / human resources. I can't find a job because they say, oh, you have a degree, but you don't have the experience. So now I'm in a debit of $88,000 for an associate degree. I can't get no credit anymore. I can't even get a secured credit card. I need help. I'm a single parent. What do I need to do?
Great question. Who wants to start first? Shahida, go ahead.
Well, I guess the first question I would ask is, what kind of budget are you working with?
I do know how to budget my money. By me being a single parent, I've had little jobs here and there. But I'm not a type of female that goes out and just splurge and just spend my money. So I pay my rent and things like that. I'm just trying to rebuild my credit.
I understand.
And I can't.
May I interrupt for a second? I guess what I would suggest is, really focus on that budget, because building an actual budget, a dollar for dollar budget, that is so integral to helping you land softly on your feet. You've got to get real about where each dollar is going so that then you can know, okay, what kind of job do I need to be looking for? Maybe I need to work part-time or work a side hustle while I'm looking to land softly in my career. But your budget is going to make sure that you're able to make your monthly payments, make your monthly obligations, and stay afloat while you're trying to get through this. And, I just say good luck to you.
Thank you so much, Dee, for calling in. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much, okay?
All right, take care. All right. When I was preparing for this conversation with you, I heard one expert say that this is all going to be really good for people who are brand new trying to get credit. Those who have been denied and those who are brand spanking new and to build their credit. Perry, what are you hearing along those lines in terms of this as folks try to get ready and prepare for what's to come?
Yep, I am a fan of the trended data. One of the reasons why I think it's extremely helpful for people who are new to credit or people that's trying to rebuild their credit, mm-hmm. because like you mentioned, it isn't moving from a snapshot to a video surveillance, if
right.
you will, of what's going on with your credit. Therefore, it gives you more data and more information to analyze. So therefore, somebody who has a thin credit file or only 6 months or a year worth of credit, because now we have a rolling surveillance of video footage to look at that borrower, you're able to build credit in a faster pace. So that's the difference between, I think, the older models of FICO, which didn't allow for trended data,
mm-hmm.
versus the FICO version 10T, which will also come out in the summer. So there's two new FICO 10 versions. There's FICO 10, which does not include the trended data. Then there's FICO 10T, which allows thin credit files or people who move from other countries or people who are new to developing credit, develop their credit a whole lot faster or to rebuild their credit.
And basically for everybody involved here, the fundamentals have not changed. Like you said at the very beginning, Shahida, make your payments timely. Avoid taking on too much debt. The basics still apply here no matter what happens with the FICO scoring system.
Absolutely, Millette. And I would be remiss if I didn't plug, my favorite thing in the world, which
What's
is
that?
Cash.
Okay.
Cash is still king, guys.
Okay.
Cash is still the means by which you can buy things.
Preach.
It is still a medium of exchange. It is still legal tender, right? And so while we have cash, while we're worried about where credit is, mm-hmm. right, and how to get more loans, where's your cash at?
Okay.
Where's your budget? Just like the young lady that called in, hats off to her for continuing the fight and the struggle, to make ends meet. But where is your cash and how is it performing for you? Where are you investing? Where are you trying to expand on your side hustles? What are you trying to do? Credit is an opportunity to borrow money. We all use those systems.
Right.
But your budget is your central financial tool to build a strong financial foundation.
202-319-7810. That's the number to call to get this expert advice for free right here. 202-319-7810. I want to go to Sharessa. I know I butchered your name, calling in from D.C. What's your question or your comment? First, what's your name?
Sharessa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go right ahead. What's your question?
Yeah, it's a question.
Okay, go ahead.
But I do have student loans, and they're not in default. I don't owe on them. But the only thing that I feel is hitting my credit is the interest fee. How can I, do something about that as far as helping my credit grow more, because it's like at a standstill?
Perry, you want to start?
Yeah, so that goes to the earlier conversation on revolving debt versus installment debt. A lot of people, I think, have built up anxiety around the amount of student loan debt they have. And the good thing about this model is those that have large student loan debt or those that have large mortgages, those are considered installment loans. that does not impact the FICO score nearly as much as credit card debt and what is called revolving debt. So line of credit or credit card or line or revolving debt, and that would impact the credit score more. So the best thing you could do is continue to do exactly what you're doing with making your payments on time, and you will see that balance go down over time. And one of the other things people are doing, general rule of thumb, is depending on your income, there may be payment forgiveness plans or payment plans that you could take advantage of, especially in the Washington, D.C. area if you work for the federal government or a nonprofit group.
I'm on a payment plan right now.
So as long as you're on that payment plan, you're making that payment amount, that does not negatively impact you. Every time you make that payment, it will positively impact your score.
All right, Sharisa. Thank you for your call. This is really, really important. The first thing I would recommend that you do is get a copy of your credit reports. It sounds like you're kind of guessing a little bit, and that's okay. But if you go to annualcreditreport.com, you're eligible for a free copy of your credit report from each bureau one time per year. So go ahead and do that and see exactly how much you owe and on what terms. The second thing I would say is make a plan. Your budget is in the center of the room, and you can use that tool to help figure out how much you're going to pay and by when you want to get out of debt. And then, as Perry said, leverage your income-based repayment options if you have federal loans. That gives you the most opportunity to get the most amount of your debt forgiven or put on a plan that you can afford that fits in your budget.
Thank you so much, Sharisa. Good luck with everything. That's student loan debt, Perry and Shahida. That's a monster in this country. I mean, we are, let me just read one statistic here, a fact. Americans borrowing heavily. And according to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, household debt increased by $92 billion in the third quarter of 2019 and is now $13.95 trillion. I just want that to sink in for a second. It's and our community, people of color, are really suffocating in this. Can you put that in perspective in terms of what you've been hearing?
Okay. First of all, I think it relates to, again, the hysteria about credit. I mean, credit is sexy, right? Budgeting is not as fun as, and managing your cash, especially when you don't have a whole lot of it, is really hard to get on board with. But credit helps you buy all of those things that we need and want, right? Mm-hmm. So credit helped me, like it does many of Americans, buy that first home or fund that occasional emergency.
Right.
But some of that other stuff is really just about marketing, right? Manufacturing wants. And, you know, providing a medium to purchase them. And that's a really big landslide into debt. And so I think that a lot of the debt and things like that that people experience outside of, you know, our homes and our student loans and things like that are really a function of, you know, us just really not having a good grasp on our budgets, our needs and our wants, and our ability to prioritize our spending.
All right. 202-319-7810. That is the number to call and join the conversation. 202-319-7810. Want to go to Michael calling in from Oxon Hill, Maryland. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Great. What do you want to say?
My question is, Is an 800 or a 900 credit score obtainable? How long and how soon? How fast?
Perry, so, you want to take a stab at that first?
There's 21% of Americans that have a credit score that's 800 to 850. That's on all versions of FICO.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's the FICO 10 or whether that's the FICO 8 that we were previously talking about. So, yes, it is attainable for 21% of Americans. As far as how long it takes to get there, it's kind of depending on your individual scenario and situation. The FICO score is so customizable to your personal situation that it's hard to give specific advice on how you get there as an individual without having a full visibility into your credit report.
How do we get there, though? I mean, what do we need to do? What steps can this gentleman and everybody else listening who wants to... Do you know where you are right now, Michael?
I'm at a 560.
You had a 560, yeah, which would put you in, very poor condition or fair condition?
Poor condition.
Very poor. Okay.
Well, keep...
So 20% of people are in that category. So the number one calculation of your credit report is your payment history. So making on-time payments would be the first thing you could do. 30% of it is around how much amount that you actually owe. And I think we talked about utilization rate. So you want to keep that percentage of your line as low as possible. And then the next category is your length of time that you've had credit. And that makes up 15% of your score. The last two categories is the whether or not how often you're getting new credit, which is 10%. And then the last one is the mix of credit, you know, versus installment loans versus credit card loans versus auto loans. All of those different type of mix of credit will also influence your report. Hope that's helpful.
So let me translate that for you, because Perry's absolutely right on the money there. Keep your debt low. Pay your bills on time, right? Borrow sparingly. A lot of marketing will have you thinking that you need to borrow more money in order to be to have a higher score, but is actually keeping your debt low that's going to help you get there. Live within your means. And all of this, again, is a function of the budget. Can you tell I'm a fan of the budget?
You are a fan. And so when they ask you, when you go to check out, when you go to pay for something and they say, hey, at the department store of your choice, and they say, hey, you want to open up a credit card and save 10%, what should the answer be?
No.
The answer should always be no, especially if you're in Michael's situation. Good luck, Michael. Thank you so much for
Good
calling
luck,
in. 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. I want to bring Jerry into the conversation, calling in from the district. You don't have any credit. Is that what you're saying, Jerry?
Yes. But my credit score is 650. 620,
mm-hmm.
But I cash and carry, so I opened up a secured credit card to establish. So how do I make it go higher?
How does she make it go higher?
Well, my first question would be, Jerry, what is your ultimate goal? Does it have credit for credit's sake, or you anticipate a lending need in the future?
I would like to buy another home.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, the first thing I would say is, again, get that budget working, okay? And I would ask, how much debt do you currently carry? Because the 35% of your credit score is making sure you pay your bills on time. The other, and 30% of your score is how much debt you have outstanding versus how much you could use if you maxed it all out. So I would ask, are you paying your bills on time, and is your debt low?
Yeah.
All right. Well, actually,
one time, and keeping the debt low.
Well, that is great, Jerry. If you were here, I'd give you a gold star. I would just say, actually, a 620 should be a good enough score to get to get a mortgage.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, you have to shop around, but 620 should do it.
Good luck, Jerry, with that. Good luck.
Thank you.
I wish you luck on buying the new home. Don't buy too much house, though.
Yes.
All right. We've got callers waiting. Tyrone from Wichita included. Thank you for calling in from Kansas. Hang on. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and take your question or comment after we come back. Welcome back. We've got our financial experts here, Perry Fleming, Shahida Williams, ready to take your phone calls and answer your questions. We've got Tyrone calling in from Wichita, Kansas. The number to call to join the conversation is 202-319-7810. Tyrone, good evening. What's your question or comment?
Okay, good evening. I was just wondering, because my wife has bad credit. I have bad credit, too. It's about a 580, but she has 400. And I was wondering, would it be beneficial for us to claim bankruptcy or what?
We had this call, something similar, come in before. Let me have our experts give you some guidance here. Perry, you want to start?
Yes. Yeah, so um, I, anytime somebody brings up the conversation around bankruptcy, highly recommend somebody speak to a bankruptcy expert or an attorney to make the recommendation based upon their individual scenario. You have a credit score now that prevents you from getting loans, but you can rebuild that credit score today by making some of the changes that we talked about as far as payment history and amount of debt being utilized, and that credit score will go up. When you file bankruptcy, you're taking yourself out of the game to get certain type of loans for a period of time. So, for example, in the mortgage space, you have to wait 7 years to get a traditional mortgage after you file bankruptcy. If you were trying to get a FHA loan, you would have to wait 2 to 3 years. So that's the reason why I always ask people to sit down with an expert that focuses specifically on bankruptcy to talk about their options. Most times it's not nearly as bad as what people believe it is.
Is there a concern that some people might be looking at bankruptcy as an option, as a solution to, building their credit? What do you think about that, Shahida? How are people looking at bankruptcy? Because Tyrone's question kind of put me in that mindset of, is that some kind of solution they think this could be? Wiping away?
And that was why I gave a look. Bankruptcy is a serious decision. And as Perry said, you should really consult a bankruptcy attorney to see if you A, qualify, and B, if where you are serious enough to really consider bankruptcy, which by definition means the public heralding of your inability to pay your debts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's heavy in and of itself, right? But I think what the question of bankruptcy really points to, and I'll say this again, is how are you managing your household? And so we could all do better. So this is not me preaching at you. I'm not up on a soapbox. But I will say, you and your wife, Tyrone should probably get together and sit down and really take a hard look at the money coming in and the money going out. And bankruptcy, whether you talk to a consultant or not, should be a last resort.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I feel comfortable saying that generally.
Good luck,
okay.
Tyrone.
Do medical bills affect your credit?
If they go to collections and they report on your credit report, Tyrone, yes.
Okay.
All right,
good
Tyrone. Make those payments. Make those payments and talk to your wife. Thank you so much for calling in. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Denise wants to join the conversation. What's your question, Denise, calling in from Maryland?
Yes, hi. I was wondering, I have been working on my credit. I did good. It went up to 7-something. But I ended up purchasing a car and because of an accident, and then I turned around and opened up credit. Now, with this new system, is it best to go ahead and close those cards to maintain your credit?
Perry, you want to take a stab at that?
So we talked about the length of history being 15% of your overall credit. So if it's a newer credit card and you close it, then it may positively impact your credit. If it's an older line of credit, of which it helps your long-term credit history, it could negatively impact your credit. There's also scenarios where if I'm looking at utilization rate or your debt to income ratio. So there's a lot of hypothetical scenarios. I always like to tell people to use the technology that's out there to look at your personal situation. So if you're a customer for Bank of America, for Chase, for Capital One, all of them have, or you could just go online and look at scenario models that says, okay, you type in your information, they pull all your information together. You can say, what if I close this particular loan? Or what if I close this particular credit card? And it'll calculate what your scenario would look like after that. And that's probably the best way for you to better understand your best approach to increasing your credit score.
That is very good advice right there, Denise. I hope you Wrote that down and take that into, okay, into advisement. All right. Thank you so much for your call. I want to say that the average U.S. FICO score hit an all-time high last year of 703. That was an all-time high last year. The exceptional scoring, what you talked about earlier, Perry, you said about 20-something percent of folks fall into that category of having a credit score between 800 and 850. Who are those folks, generally? Can you who is that? Put a face on that person.
If I just had to guess on a face of that person, it would be somebody that's had long-standing credit for a long period of time and somebody that typically doesn't use their credit nearly as much. Banks in general want to lend to people who can afford to make their payments, and typically that is people who have a lot of assets or cash, liquid cash, to make those payments, higher income people, etc.
Okay, so those are people that's not me. So let's go down the line where most of our callers seem to be falling into the category of fair to good, and they want to try to climb. Let's give them some practical tips, the basics that you guys started out of the gate talking about on how to keep going up and not going backwards, especially in a situation where the young lady we just had, she talked about closing some credit cards, some new ones that she got. Shahida, start first.
Well, first, I would just say, again, personal finance is a science. It is not an art, right? Like, there's just a few ways to do this. Keep your debt low. Right? Everyone's trying to play this credit game to see how high they can get their score. But credit is a tool. And if I were going to use tools to build a house, right, I wouldn't show up with just one. I would have a myriad of tools, right? And again, your biggest, most important part of your building is going to be the structure you're trying to build. That's your budget. That's your cash. That's your investing. That's your retirement. That's everything else. And unfortunately, we get so caught up into, oh, how do I boost my score? How do I raise my score? How do I do? What do I do? Do I close cards? Do I open them? Do I go and get more loans? Right. How do I look better to banks? Banks, banks, banks. And the logical conclusion of that is debt, not saving for retirement. I don't even want to know if you have the statistics on that. It could really make people sad. The point here is all of this is a function of cash. Where is your cash at? Where's your investments at? And then borrow sparingly as needed, you know, and then live within your means. And your budget is going to tell you what those things are. It tells you where your money's coming from and where you'd like it to go. And credit is just one opportunity to help you, you know, buy a house or go to graduate school or, you know, fund an emergency. But really, cash should be doing most of the work in our households, not credit. So I just want to kind of make sure. I know the conversation's about credit, but we don't fully just get deep without having the real conversation, which is financial planning is about money.
Perry, what are your tips and advice for folks who are in this predicament and they want to just do better?
Yeah, I keep on going to the percentages, so I'm not going to repeat that. Make your payment history, keep your debt low is general rule of thumb for credit. I want to, you know, spend some time, you know, talking about this budget thing that's being referenced again and again. So the financial principles that we teach within LightPoint, the nonprofit board that I serve on in D.C., we have a step-by-step model that we walk our clients through. And it starts off with an annual goal setting. You know, what are you trying to accomplish this particular year on a short-term, midterm, long-term basis?
Right.
And making sure that those goals are in alignment and are in diversification. So you don't have goals that pop up 5 years from now that you're not working on in year one. So they build upon each other. On a semi-annual basis, we require them or ask them to take a financial snapshot of their assets minus their liabilities so they can see the trend of how they're managing their money.
Great.
And that's helpful because that allows you to know when you have a problem that you can look back over the last 5-6 years and say, oh, it's not where I want to be today, but it's not nearly as bad as it used to be.
Perry Fleming, give me your nonprofit information so folks can reach out to you.
It is LightPoint, D.C.
Light Point, D.C. And Shahida Williams, how can people find you?
Oh, you can find me at ShahidaSpeaks@gmail.com. Shahida is spelled S-H-A-H-I-D-A-H, Speaks, S-P-E-A-K-S, @gmail.com. I'd love to hear more and continue the conversation more with you.
All right, folks, get ready. Changes are coming, and you need to be knowledgeable and aware, get good counseling, and make good decisions. I'm Molette Green, in for Harold Fisher this evening. I thank our fantastic guests for answering your questions and giving you guidance. Harold Fisher will return tomorrow. Good night.